Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. We had our big frost and it turned cold. All the flowers are dead. They say we'll get some snow before Thanksgiving. The robins are migrating off to the south. But the China Box Cafe is so beautiful and warm on a cold day like this. Dorothy had the windows fixed and she likes to turn the heat up just a little bit. The smell of chili and the smell of melted cheese. You have to be cold before you can appreciate warmth. That's what we say up here, and we sort of believe it most of the time. Donnie and Duron Krebsbach came down to the cities this last week. They came down to go to the gala for the Sisters of Mercy home where Duron's parents have been living now for the last few years. And as long as they were down in the cities, they thought they would visit their son Brian, who's a sophomore at St. Denis College. He lives in a room just off Franklin Avenue in a house with other boys. They drove around there. The backyard was kind of a mess. They came in the back and they discovered the back door was unlocked. They thought, boy, this is not the sort of neighborhood where you should leave the back door unlocked. They walked into the vestibule and into the back hall and they heard a girl. This was 11 o'clock in the morning. They heard a girl say, "Where's the John?" And then they heard their son say, "It's down the hall, first door on your right." And they heard her walk barefoot out of his room and into the John. And then they heard their son come trotting out and poke his head in somebody else's room and said, "Quick, what's her name? I forgot her name." And some other guy said, "Look in her billfold." He ran back into his room. "Oh, Jessamine, right." They thought of staying longer. It didn't seem to be a good time. There was a stack of pizza boxes in the kitchen that was 8 feet high, double stack. So they left. They didn't leave a note. They just left. They closed the door behind them. They went over to the Sisters of Mercy home where Duron's parents sat there in their rocking chairs, all nicely dressed, not sure who Donnie and Duron are or why they had come. Her mother looked up at her with a blank look as Duron put a bouquet of flowers in her mother's lap and said, "Happy birthday, Mommy." Her mother said, "You know, the boys went off looking for that horse, and I don't know why. Why would you go chasing a horse? I mean, if he's going to come back, he'll come back. Now it's getting dark, and supper's on, and I can't go out looking for them. If I go out looking for them, we'll all be out there looking for each other. I don't know what to do." Those boys are now in their late 80s and early 90s, all living down in Florida. There was her mother, all fussed up over something that happened a long time ago out on the farm. Donnie and Duron drove back to Lake Wobegon. Duron depressed. She could imagine herself sitting in that same chair in that same nursing home maybe 20, 30 years from now and saying, "Brian, get that girl out of here. What do you got for brains?" Donnie was depressed, got back to Lake Wobegon. He made a detour to the sidetrack tap to have a little medicinal martini. It was just too much to see Brian and to see his in-laws within a few hours was to see the whole span of life in a brief time, to go from savagery to senility in 30 years, to see how brief our time on earth is. He walked into the sidetrack tap, asked Wally to make him a martini and put less vermouth in it than last time. And he saw a girl sitting back by the jukebox. She was writing in a notebook, a young woman, and she was weeping. Wally said, she's been here for an hour and a half, and she's asking about somebody named Francis. And I have no idea who she's looking for, but she's very upset. If you want to go back and talk to her. So Donnie did. He introduced himself. She said, I'm looking for somebody who knew my uncle, Francis. He lived in this town for 50, 60 years. He was my favorite uncle. And nobody here seems to remember him. It's like he didn't even exist. Well, Donnie had vague memories now of Francis, except they never knew him as Francis. They gave him a nickname. Everybody got a nickname back then. If you were fat, they'd call you Tiny. If you were shy, they'd call you Romeo. He got this nickname when he was playing softball out in the playground, and he was struck by a ball at the very same moment as the bell sounded for the end of recess, and they called him Ding Dong after that. He should have just left town, but he became Ding Dong, and he was Ding Dong for the rest of his life that he spent in Lake Wobegon. He inherited his mother's house, and he fell in love with Tina Lundeen, who once she got hooked up with Ding Dong, and she was called Ting-a-ling. And they were engaged. They were in love. They sat together in church, in the Lutheran church, every Sunday, and they went to the movies in St. Cloud every Friday night, and they were with each other. They were truly in love. They were engaged for 57 years. She could not marry him until she had done something with her mother, and her mother needed her care, and so she took care of her mother. Her mother lived to the age of 102, and Ding Dong couldn't marry Tina until he got his house fixed up. And he just never got it fixed up. He would take the plaster off, and then there would be something wrong underneath. And he would take the lath off, and then he would take off the ceiling, and there was something wrong. And the studs were wrong, and the rafters were wrong. He just kept tearing this house apart until finally it was uninhabitable. But the two of them were happy. They were happy being engaged. Finally, her mother died. And then Tina took ill. She was an old lady. She was almost 80 years old. She'd been engaged for 57 years. And then she died. And somebody asked Ding Dong. They said, Ding Dong, don't you wish you'd gotten married? And he said, I was in love with her for 57 years. And that's nothing to be regretful about. She was the only woman in the world for me. 57 years I was in love. And then he took ill, and he went off to Montana to live with this girl's family out there a few more years until he died. He was not Ding Dong in Montana. He was Francis in Montana. They had no idea what his story was back in Lake Wobegon. He never told them. So she asked Donnie, she said, did you know my Uncle Francis? Oh, yes, he said. I knew him, and I knew Tina Lundeen. They were secretly engaged, you know. Oh, my boy. They couldn't wait to get married. They saw each other 3-4 times a week. Boy, that couple, I tell you. They used to borrow my fishing shack to get together. And oh, if those walls could talk. Boy, every time I walked into that fishing shack, I could smell champagne and candle wax. They were crazy for each other, I tell you. Whenever he got together with her, boy, he rang her chimes. Boy, you can bet he did. Oh, I could tell you stories, he said. I could tell you stories. I guess he could, too. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.